Thank you very much, Ambassador, for speaking with the Voice of America. Today, I would like to focus on the U.S.-China competition for influence in Latin America. First of all, how would you evaluate the status quo? Some people are saying that the U.S. is losing influence to China in the region. Do you agree?
Over the past 20 years, China's presence in Latin America has increased significantly. Now, it is important to look at this not as some sort of zero-sum game. The view of many governments and of many analysts and policymakers is that it is a good thing that Latin America trades and does business with more countries rather than with fewer ones.
Of course, the diversification and, you know, this competition is good for Latin American countries, but what does it mean for the U.S.?
For quite a while, the view in the United States and in Washington was that business that Latin America did with China was, in the end, a positive thing. It meant more Latin American growth. It meant that the Latin American economies would be more stable, and that in the end, the U.S. would also benefit. There would be fewer migration pressures, and there would be fewer issues in the region for the United States to have to contend with.
We were speaking in general, right? But Latin America is not a monolith. Actually, countries have their differences. Some might, lean more towards China, while others might prioritize their relationships with the U.S. How do you see this division? What are the driving forces behind it?
My impression is that, as a rule, most Latin American governments, what they want to do is they want to have good relations both with the United States and with China. And if there is a healthy competition, say there is a tender for a particular bridge or a dam, and you have both U.S. firms and Chinese firms competing in that tender, I think, you know, everybody benefits. It would not be a good idea for Latin American governments to automatically, mechanically side either with Washington or with Beijing on a range of issues, on a range of questions. What I have argued in a recent book that I've co-authored with some colleagues, which is called Active Non-Alignment in Latin America, a Doctrine for the New Century. What we argue there is that Latin American countries should look at issues, on its own and look at their own national interest. In some cases, it will mean siding with the United States, on issues of democracy and human rights, for example. It is quite likely that Latin American countries will be closer to the U.S. position than to the Chinese position. On the other hand, on issues of, say, international trade, in which the United States has been increasingly protectionist, it is likely that Latin American countries will side with China. The point we're trying to make is that this will vary from issue to issue. And active non-alignment stands for making pragmatic decisions based on the national interest of each of the Latin American countries.
Washington actually has been doing a lot of soul searching recently about whether the U.S. has overlooked Latin America in the past decades. And President Biden early on vowed to change that and to, you know, build up the relationship with the region. That's why we've seen, at the Summit of Americas, a series of economic, health and migration initiatives were rolled out. I'm wondering how these initiatives and Biden's efforts in general have been received by local people in Latin America.
I think it is important for Latin American leaders to get together with the U.S. president and discuss issues of common concern. Now, that said, there were a number of important issues brought to the fore in the summit, including the migration issue, which has become particularly complex. On the, say, on the economic front, most people would say that the agenda was not particularly ambitious. I've used the term pretty thin. Latin America is going through a severe economic crisis. It has been hit both by the pandemic and by an economic slowdown. So urgent measures are needed. About a third of Latin Americans live under the poverty line right now. And on that, there wasn't much in Los Angeles. And to give you another example, in question of market access, many countries in Latin America, including my own, Chile, have free trade agreements with the United States, but there are some that do not. Uruguay and Ecuador would like to have a free trade agreement with the United States, but they have been told it's a non-starter. So, you know, that's the other side of the coin.
You also mentioned that whether the U.S. could provide a better alternative to, you know, China's plan. Since 2017, 21 Latin American countries have signed on to the Belt and Road Initiative, and more are expected to join. But last year, the U.S. and other G7 countries launched a global infrastructure initiative called the Build Back Better World. Don't you think it's a better alternative to China's Belt and Road Initiative?
I think this is a positive development. Now, when one looks at the numbers, it is unclear how many fresh resources are being put on the table by the United States for this Build Back Better program. It is one thing to encourage private companies to do things. It is another to come up with actual resources that are put on the table. You know, BRI does that. It is unclear whether Build Back Better will do that.
But because of the, you know, the economic and political structure that the U.S. has, you know, the U.S. government's hands are always tied, right? The funding power of the U.S. government is very much limited. That's why the U.S. policy, you know, has to be heavily dependent on the private sector, while the Chinese government is able to direct their economic activities. And China's investment in Latin America is made largely by state-owned firms whose pockets are, you know, as deep as national treasury. So do you think the U.S. is competing with China in a fair game?
Well, life is not necessarily fair. You know, the Chinese system is what it is, and the U.S. system is what it is. I could think of, say, tax incentives or other measures that the United States could take to promote more investment in Latin America. As it is, for example, in the construction field, very few U.S. companies. There are some very significant U.S. construction companies, but basically they don't participate in tenders and bids in Latin America. They consider them too small. They say there's too much corruption. Well, Chinese companies do participate.
I think it reveals major differences between the U.S. and China approaches. The U.S. stresses that the importance of democratic institutions and the rule of law, but China argues that economic prosperity does not need to be entangled with democratic values. So how do you see the difference? Which approach is actually working?
Yes, well, I will say this. For Latin America, for the reasons I mentioned earlier, this big crisis, one out of every three Latin Americans under the poverty line, the significant development challenges that the region faces. It is development that is the main concern of Latin American countries. And many interpret this emphasis on, say, democracy as a way of weaponizing democracy in the competition that the United States has with China. Latin American countries and Latin American governments are not interested in participating in geopolitical competition. What they're interested in is in furthering their development, in increasing the standard of living of their populations, and, you know, getting out of the difficult situation they find themselves. And, you know, that is the approach that is being followed.
But are you concerned that China's approach might bring short-term gains but long-term risks to Latin American countries?
Well, you know, perhaps, you know, as John Maynard Keynes used to say, in the long term, we'll all be dead. But governments in Latin America today have to deal with some serious issues of unemployment, of, you know, the need for poverty alleviation, for investment, for trade. And they are willing to engage those countries that will respond to those needs. So those are the priorities.
So what would be your suggestions for Biden administration to improve the U.S. relationship with Latin America nowadays?
I think that's a great question. And I would hope that after what happened in Los Angeles, after the summit of the Americas that was recently held, that there would be some sort of reset for U.S. policy towards Latin America. And that people in Washington should realize that the main concern in Latin America right now is the development challenge and the need for economic growth. And to reach that, Latin American countries want to have more trade with the United States. They would like to have more investment from the United States. They would like to see a greater presence of U.S. companies in Latin America. So if the Biden administration can do something about that, it seems to me would be the best way forward.